on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Thank you for spending it with Rosie on the house. We're in the garden with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery. And we're going to get to trees. We're just coming up on that magic time for fertilizing citrus. You have your Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day.
Yeah, and believe it or not, Memorial Day is just about 30 days away. So pretty much any time in the month of May and through early June is a great time to fertilize. And not only citrus, really all of our warm weather loving subtropical desert adapted trees and shrubs. You know, they're going into spring. They're pushing up blooms. They're pushing new growth. And that's when you want to fertilize stuff, you know, when it's growing and when it's or just getting ready to grow. We also want to fertilize those fruit trees because they've set. You mentioned blossoms blowing off. Well, hopefully most citrus had, you know, finished blooming and the fruit are now, you know, set and maybe the size of a big marble or just below golf ball type size. So we didn't lose too many. It's very normal, though, in May and June to lose a lot of citrus fruit. It's called June drop, and that will happen. It's just a natural way of citrus thinning themselves. They're not like a peach tree that'll just put on so many fruit the tree will break. They have a way of kind of sloughing off excess fruit. That will happen regardless of what you do. But fertilizing now as the fruit is setting, putting on new growth, fertilizing really most of our trees and shrubs. And as our lawns start to wake up and green up, we talked about transitioning. Once we kill that ryegrass off, that Bermuda grass then needs to be fed. It's had a competitor sitting on top of it now for 8 or 9 months. Even though it was dormant, that ryegrass has been taking all the nutrients out of the soil, and we want to get it fed so that it can recover quickly as well.
And when you're fertilizing, a lot of liquid products out there, a lot of granular products out there. There's a number on the bag. Does it make that big a difference from one to the other?
All fertilizers work. If they have any analysis on them at all, you know, the three numbers, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash, they all will work. But they are designed and engineered to work a certain way. So follow the directions. If you have a liquid fertilizer, it might tell you to use it once a week or every 2 weeks or every 14 days, depending on what you're feeding it on. So that's the way it's intended for it to be effective. It's got to be used that often. A dry granular fertilizer, a slow-release organic fertilizer might last 3 or 4 months. You need to follow the directions, but they all work. They're just intended to be used a certain way and used at a certain frequency and at a certain time. So you just want to make sure the ones that don't work are the ones that are still sitting on the shelf in your storage room collecting dust or getting hard or wet or ruined because they haven't been used.
How long will it last on the shelf out in the heat like that?
You know, most of them will last a long time, but what eventually will happen, we get moisture in the air, we get humidity, the package has been opened, and they get, you know, get enough, you know, moisture in them that they'll get hard or, you know, and even then they can work. You just got to break them up. But, you know, most of them have a very, very long shelf life, longer than they should have because they shouldn't last that long. You know, if you're using them in the frequency in which they're intended, unless you just hoard fertilizer and just, you know, one of those guys that has to buy a pallet load to get a good deal or something, and it's more than you can use, you really shouldn't ever have fertilizer go bad.
And you like to sell a lot of the granular ones just because you understand homeowners. We're busy. We've got jobs. We've got work. We got it this to do. They're designed to last a little longer.
Well, I love the garden, and I don't have time or can I remember to go out and mix a fertilizer and do it once a week or once every 2 weeks. You know, I might on a few little pots or my tomatoes or something like that. But as far as my trees, shrubs, vines, and, you know, plant nutrition is very similar to our nutrition. You don't want to fertilize and then go a long time. You know, you want to binge, eat a lot, and then go. You want a nice, balanced approach. You want to fertilize regularly and fertilize balanced and regularly. So you don't want plants to have a spurt of growth and then quit growing and harden off and then spurt of growth. You know, it doesn't lend itself to having great healthy plants. So a nice balance. You know, there again, that gets to back to following the directions. How often should this product be used? It will work great if you'll do it that often. So granular products, I think, are easier. You don't require a lot of mixing or any mixing. Throw them on and water them in, typically. So I think it's a lot easier to use whether you're using an organic product or whether, you know, a synthetic product. It's just easier to do.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we take a line that opens a line for you to get in. 1-888-767-4348. We're going to start this morning with Jeff in Santan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I was listening to the program a couple of weeks ago or months ago, I don't remember which, and you're talking about planting multiple citrus trees in the same hole rather than doing a cocktail tree or something like that. And I wanted to get a little bit more information on that and wondering also if this is okay time to plant citrus. We got a flood irrigated lot. We're on 3.5 acres, and we've got an area that we want to do some citrus trees in.
How long have you been on the property, Jeff?
We've been there we've owned the property about 1.5 years. We have a small house that we rent out on the property, and we're preparing the property to build a custom home, but right now we've just been leveling the ground for irrigating.
Nice. That really doesn't have anything to do with the citrus, but those irrigated lots in Santan Valley, those are some pretty properties.
And the fact that you have a lot of property, really, you're really not the candidate that I would suggest planting multiple citrus in a hole. We kind of do that for people that don't have very much room or only have room for one tree, but they want multiple varieties. In your case, just plant one of each or two of each. You know, plant a grove. Plant a bunch of them and plant single trees and plant them, you know, appropriately spaced apart depending on the variety and what you want to do. Jeff, what we're really talking about is people that have a small residential lot. They really only have room for one tree. They want to buy what's called a cocktail tree, which is multiple varieties budded onto a single tree. And that just never works out as well as we want it to work. So what you can do is start with a smaller tree or a dwarf variety or varieties and dig a common hole or even multiple holes right next to each other and plant 3 or 4 varieties. Now, what you don't want to do, you know, obviously don't want to plant a peach and a citrus. You want to plant a couple, 3 varieties of citrus together, or we want to plant, you know, a peach and an apricot together. Ideally, you want maybe a couple, 3 different kinds of peaches because they grow the same way. If you plant a plum and an apple together, it's going to look really goofy because they grow differently and look differently.
We appreciate the call. If you hope that helps, and good luck with the whatever route you decide to go and the custom home. That's exciting. Let's get to Paul next at 1-888-767-4348 from Santan. We're jumping over to Glendale and talking fruit flies. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Yes, sir. I don't know if they're fruit flies, but my wife has some succulents, and these flies, whatever they are, they bury themselves in the soil. We've replaced the soil, put new soil in there, and we just can't get rid of them.
Okay. What you have are probably fungus gnats, or sometimes we refer to them as nuisance gnats. They are breeding in the soil. You might be keeping the soil too wet. Try and get some air circulation. Try and get that soil to dry out a little bit. A couple things that will help you, diatomaceous earth sprinkled on top of or mixed in the soil will help cover those, and or putting a little sand or gravel on top of the pot. Cover that up. That'll sometimes prevent those gnats from being able to emerge out through the top of the soil. So drying it out, mixing some gritty material in there like diatomaceous earth, and maybe cover the surface of the pot with a sand type product will help you.
We appreciate the call. It is a buggy season. We had a lot of moisture and it brings everything to life.
Well, you know, the bugs like all that green stuff too. So, you know, it's just part of it. So, yeah, and not all bugs are bad. I mean, nuisance gnats don't cause any real problem. They're just a nuisance. But it can be a sign that especially if she's growing succulents, that she's keeping them too wet, which could then cause a problem with rotting or plants dying.
We had a texter wanting to know, what does azomite do for plants?
Well, azomite's a naturally occurring mineral that they're starting to use to help, you know, increase, you know, plant vitality. They use it in soil mixes. You know, it's fairly, well, I don't think it's new, but it's recently new to people growing plants. I don't know a ton about it, but we're starting to get some people asking and looking for it. It's something that some of the soil folks and fertilizer folks are starting to think about blending into and adding to their fertilizers.
We'll have to do a little research and see if people are asking for it. Who's advertising it? That's got to be pushed from something that's being pushed out there, I would think.
More than likely. You know, there's probably a, you know, a garden show or an internet situation where they're, you know, it's gaining some popularity.
We appreciate the questions. It's 411-923 for text. If you get our weekly newsletter, that is the number you'll need for when we have our Diamondback tickets giveaway a little bit later. We have a set for, these are dugout box seats, the Pirates and the Tigers.
Wow, those are great seats. Yeah. Wow.
Something coming up for Mother's Day. Or
can I call in on that?
Hey. You know what? We really don't check the numbers on the text. So if you got 411-923 ready to go, there's a trivia question in our newsletter that we'll be asking a little bit later. And then from the texters at that time, we'll have a random drawing. I take all the texts that we get, and then I just walk out in the newsroom and say, hey, pick a number between 1 and 85, and then whatever number they pick, we come back and
got it.
85 off the list. It's pretty random. But let's get to Dale in Tucson next. Wants to talk about Dale, do we have you?
Got Dale's, yes. Got Dale's dog.
And it's a dog question.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, actually, it does relate to a dog. So she's done some digging in the backyard and got a couple of good divots or whatever you want to call them. And I was looking at the best way to level the yard back out. I didn't know if it would help to rototill it and then kind of level it out from there, or just add topsoil and reseed.
Okay, well, I guess it depends on the extent of the damage. You know, if it's just a spot here and there, Bermuda grasses will fill back in. They have, you know, rhizomes that creep and reroot, and, you know, you can do that. If it's common Bermuda grass, you could add some seed. If it's really thin and spotty, and you know, you might want to consider reseeding or resodding it. If it's just a, you know, a divot here and there, sand or a mix of maybe some topsoil and sand is probably the best way to do it. You just kind of float some sand, you know, in there. And if they're real deep, you do it a little at a time. Do some sand, let it grow up through it, sand it again. You know, it's just a little bit of a process.